Yes, it is Thursday's edition of World Football Daily that you're listening to, and I'm delighted to be joined by a very, very good friend of the show, a man that we don't have on enough up there in Canada, Mr. Nigel Reid, joining us here on World Football Daily. Nigel, how are you doing, mate, today?
I'm good, Ollie, and a happy new year to you and your listeners.
And a happy new year to you from me and from everybody listening at home as well. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show, mate. How have you been? It's been a long time since we last spoke to you, and plenty going on in and around Canadian football at the moment.
Well, it's been an extraordinary week, just coming back after sort of the holiday and New Year celebrations. Just as well, I'm over the flu that struck me just before Christmas, because I've been extremely busy these last 2 days. We have a new coach in Montreal, we have a new head coach in Toronto, and we have a new interim head coach in charge of the Canadian national team. So never a dull moment around these parts, Ollie.
Yeah, never a dull moment at all. And it was massive news here in the UK. Ryan Nelson being given the head coaching role in Toronto. What have you made of this move in terms of Nelson is a fantastic defender. He's got great footballing experience. He understands the game, but he's not experienced at all as a coach.
Well, Ollie, I've been covering soccer, football, call it what you will, for the best part of 30 years. And I would have to say this to you right off the bat. I've never seen an appointment quite like this. Toronto FC have, as you know, as everyone knows, unveiled Ryan Nelson as their head coach for the coming 2013 season, which begins, by the way, the first week in March. And there's pre-season before that. There's the combine and the super draft before that. What came out at the press conference, which I attended a couple of days ago, was quite extraordinary. The fact that, A, he's not available. Nobody quite knows when he's going to be available. And, oh, by the way, he's not qualified. He doesn't have any coaching badges. So you follow the timeline of Kevin Payne's announcement, and you can understand why he's gone for such an experienced player who has displayed those leadership qualities as a player, because Payne drafted him for DC United back in the early 2000s, and he served as his captain when DC United last won the MLS Cup in 2004. But a quite extraordinary announcement to everybody gathered, and the reaction has been, well, somewhat confused. I mean, I suppose we'll find out whether Kevin Payne, the new president of Toronto FC, is a genius in the coming months, or somewhere south of that. I mean, obviously, he has a long-standing respect for Ryan Nelson and his playing and leadership abilities, but the guy has never stood behind a bench. And by the way, we're not quite sure when he's going to be here. So quite extraordinary over the last couple of days.
Is there almost a feeling in Toronto of, you know, Aaron Vinter did terribly badly, Paul Mariner didn't do well either in charge. The last two managers have done very poorly indeed in terms of this Toronto side. Is it now a case of, well, we might as well have a go with Ryan Nelson because we've tried other options and none of those worked, might as well give an inexperienced guy a shot?
Well, Toronto FC are about to enter Season 7 of Major League Soccer, and Nelson will be their eighth head coach. So I guess that gives you an idea of the various ideas that have been tried and generally failed at Toronto FC since 2007. You know, I suppose you go back to the analogy of, you know, throwing darts at a board and hoping one will stick sooner or later. As I say, I mean, Payne clearly feels that Nelson is a new breed of coach, if we can call him that. As I say, he doesn't have any formal coaching badges. He's clearly a leader on the field, but that doesn't always translate to what happens behind the bench and actually running the team. So, you know, it's either a visionary, it's certainly a very bold step, but for the short term, it makes no sense at all. Payne makes the point that he expects Nelson to be around for maybe 5 years. And so if he's got to wait for a couple of months until QPR have finished the EPL season, and he doesn't get him until the mid to end of May, well, then he's prepared to wait that long and allow his subordinates to run the team in the meantime. I suppose it's also worth mentioning that the last time I checked, Ryan Nelson is still the captain of the New Zealand national team, and they have World Cup qualifying duties to take care of as well. So one way or another, Ollie, Nelson is going to be a very busy body for the next 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, it's added a hectic amount of work to his schedule, that's for sure. You're a man obviously in touch with the fans in Canada and with the players as well. What's been the reaction in and around Toronto, both inside the club to this acquisition of Nelson, and also from the fans as well? Are they pleased to see somebody who's a fairly big name in football, not obviously a Messi type name, but still a well-known name in football, taking on their club?
I think maybe disbelief is a little strong, but it's not far short of that as far as a lot of the fans are concerned. And I think, in a way, what the fans wanted to see and are not going to see, the one piece of concrete news, if you like, that came out of the press conference was that Nelson has not been hired as a player coach, on a team that has been dead last in Major League Soccer for the last couple of years, has always had a brittle defence, cannot defend to save its life from time to time. And I think there's a lot of fans who think, well, you're 35 years of age, there's plenty of players still playing at that age in leagues around the world, and certainly in Major League Soccer. You're a proven leader at the back. Why don't you come and shore up the defence so you can be a player coach? But it was made quite clear a couple of days ago that Nelson has not been hired or will not be hired as a player. He himself said, I'm playing on glass knees. QPR still want me to play, and you can understand that with his performances in the Premiership so far this season. But clearly he's sort of saying, well, the body is, the mind is willing, but the body won't do it. I just can't go on playing anymore. So, one of the first situations that he and Kevin Payne are going to have to sort out are, what are they going to do as far as defenders are concerned for the foreseeable future. Certainly with inside the club, and as you might imagine, in the world of corporate Canada, everybody thinks it's a great decision, and they think this is a visionary appointment, and that Nelson will be the saviour of TFC and somebody who can finally turn this club around. But there's certainly, in the media here, and certainly among the fans, I think, a certain amount of scepticism, to put it mildly.
Montreal as well, finally getting a full-time manager in their head coach position. Marco Schallenbaum comes in to Montreal to take on the Impact for next season. How much pressure is on Schallenbaum to get results straight away with this Montreal side? Because they weren't far off the playoffs last season.
Yeah, there's a fair amount of pressure, I think, as far as Schallenbaum is concerned. If I tell you he's accepted this job, if you like, on Montreal's terms, in other words, he's only signed a one-year contract for 2013. He's come in saying, he loves a challenge. He's come in saying that he loves to play attacking football. Well, those philosophies better pay off fairly quickly as far as the Impact are concerned, because if they don't make the playoffs in 2013, then I guess Montreal themselves will be looking for another new coach for their third year in 2014. It's an interesting appointment, and it took a while coming. Jesse Marsh, unfortunately, was never the man that the Impact wanted. It's something to do with the culture and linguistic ability, if you like. That's not a problem for Schallenbaum. He speaks four languages fluently, including French and English, and for that matter, Italian, which should play well for the veteran Italian contingent on the Impact team. But Joey Saputo was also very careful to say we didn't want to hire an Italian coach per se, because it wouldn't necessarily look good from an optical point of view. He can't start forgetting the players who actually got the Impact into a pretty good situation last year. The Americans on this team, the Davy Arnauds, the Colin Warners, the Patrice Berniers of Canada, who actually did much of the grunt work and made players like Marco de Vaio, able to shine. So it's a very interesting appointment. Schallenbaum has been out of club coaching for a couple of years. His resume as a coach in the last 10 years, well, it looks a little thin on paper. He's been in and out of clubs. He's known to be somewhat volatile, which leads me to believe, Ollie, that he's going to be on a collision course with MLS referees, the moment he stands behind the bench. And that's never a good thing. But we'll see how it plays out. Certainly he has the pedigree as a player and somewhat as a coach over 30-odd years. And clearly this is the European-style appointment that the Impact was looking for.
When you look at these sides up in Canada, Toronto, Montreal, and of course the Vancouver Whitecaps as well, Nigel, where do you see each of these teams needing to add this off-season in terms of bringing in maybe a star player, a bit of a stellar player to come in and work things around through each side?
It's interesting, Ollie. I mean, we haven't got all day, and it's difficult to answer the question in a brief manner. I will do my best. clearly, from Toronto FC's point of view, as I've alluded to there with Ryan Nelson's impending appointment, the problem for Toronto FC has always been and continues to be a solid back four, a decent back line that can play 90 minutes and be relied upon. I'm not sure, even though they've got a couple of new players in, that problem is solved. So they'll be conceding goals again, I fear, in 2013. As far as the impact are concerned, there's certainly a feel, I think, in Montreal, having been there on a number of occasions last season, that the influx of European players has yet to stop. I think we'll see more European players imported in the course of the season. And I suppose it's natural that with a new coach like Schalibam, he will tend, if possible, if he can do it within MLS regulations, bring in players that he's trusted and played with before. So maybe some more Swiss players and the like to come in as far as Montreal are concerned. Up front, Marco De Vaio could certainly do with some help as far as the scoring the goals is concerned. And as far as the Whitecaps go, well, we wait to see whether or not Martin Rennie retains the majority of the squad that got Vancouver to the playoffs, or at least to that play-in for the playoffs last season. They tailed off fairly poorly towards the end of the season and stopped scoring goals, which ultimately cost them. So again, some help for Kenny Miller if he stays, and the other players up front would be, I think, a wise move if Rennie and the Whitecaps can find the right sort of players to come on and be impactful from the get-go for Vancouver this season.
We're talking about Vancouver there at the end, and as you say, the side, the only side in Canada that made the playoffs last season. When you look at their season last year, it was really they were struggling in front of goal. Now, it's very difficult to attract kind of big-name strikers, and there aren't many teams that have an absolute stellar striker in their lineup. Are the Whitecaps going to be waiting till maybe the Super Draft to try and add to this this position, or do you think they will go hunting for something maybe slightly bigger and more experienced?
Yeah, I think they've got a relatively solid lineup. I think they proved that certainly in the first half of last season, so I don't think wholesale changes are needed as far as Vancouver is concerned. I think there is certainly some tinkering to be done by Martin Rennie. As I say, I think that certainly another striker wouldn't do them any harm. Somebody who can come in and make an immediate impact, if possible. You know, obviously MLS rules dictate certain things, and he may have to sacrifice a couple of players or trade some players to allow that to happen. But clearly in the second half of last season, the goals dried up as far as the impact are concerned. You know, you might argue that it was more to do with the fact that they weren't creating so much and leaving their strikers isolated. But at the end of the day, you know, you've got to have players that have that offensive nous and can lay on those chances for the goal scorers. To my mind, they need another attacking midfielder. They need another goal scorer, but not too much. You know, it's not a case of throwing the baby out with the bathwater as far as Vancouver are concerned. Rennie's clearly come in. He clearly knows which direction he's going in. So I think maybe two or three new players would probably do for Vancouver and keep them competitive going into 2013.
Vancouver, they kick off their season, we've found out today, against Toronto on the opening day of the season. How much is this a great way of getting the season really alive straight away with this all-Canadian tie in the opening game?
Yeah, we've seen it before, Ollie, and it's generally a good day for, you know, Canadiana, if I can put it that way. Vancouver and Toronto FC are nowhere close to each other geographically. I mean, I've done this trip and it's a 4.5 hour flight, and yet here in Canada we look upon this game as, you know, almost a local derby, which is kind of bizarre if you think about it anywhere else in the football playing world. But because there are only three, you know, Canadian teams in MLS, and Vancouver have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder about Toronto FC when it comes to the Canadian Championship, a trophy that they haven't won, and so every chance that the Whitecaps get to meet Toronto FC, They like to try and put it to them in league play, and certainly both teams will be up for this opening game of the season. Vancouver with home advantage, and Toronto FC, well, who knows where they'll be in early March, and who knows who will be behind the bench and on the playing roster as far as TFC are concerned in a month or so's time. So it'll be an intriguing game, as these often are, and I'm sure there'll be goals.
We'll be waiting with bated breath, that's for sure. Nigel, I know we've taken up plenty of your time. If I can just ask you one more question quickly about the friendly coming up between America and Canada at the end of this month. The US have announced their squad and, their training minicamp squad. But there's not too much seriousness taken by this game. It's only a friendly game to, it seems, a lot of the US soccer fans. How serious is this being taken in Canada as a time to be able to show the US that there's another team up in North America?
Very much. I mean, it's a transitional period for Canada after their horrendous exit from the World Cup. It still leaves a bad taste in the mouth, and that thumping they took in Honduras. As a result, Stephen Hart, the head coach at the time, fell on his sword. He had no option. Colin Miller, former Canadian international, has come in to take on the reins as interim coach. But he said, basically, I'm not here to babysit. I'm here to try and move the program forward, you know, while I have the opportunity. And essentially, whenever the U.S. and Canada gets together, there's no love lost between these teams. Canada always takes it very seriously. So you can bet the 11 in red, if that's what they decide to play in, will certainly be up for this game, and every chance they get to pit their wits against the Americans. There's no such thing as a friendly from a Canadian point of view, should I put it that way.
Well, I look forward to it then. You've built it up once again, because Rafa's been here on the show saying, it's just a friendly game, don't worry about it. Nigel, you're whetting my appetite for this friendly come the end of January. Thank you so much for joining us today, mate. It's a pleasure to have you on, as always, and we look forward to getting you back on in 2013 as soon as possible, man.
Always a pleasure, Ollie. Have a good show and a good year.
And you, mate. Nigel Reid joining us here on World Football Daily on the Thursday edition of the show. Sports broadcaster, analyst, writer. He does it all up there north of the border up in Canada. And we love getting him on the show whenever we can to talk a little bit of Toronto, Montreal and Vancouver as well. We were saying at the beginning of the show that the MLS schedule has been released today. Here are the games that are coming up on that opening day of the season. Philadelphia take on Sporting Kansas City. We have that all-Canadian tie of Vancouver against Toronto. Houston take on DC United. FC Dallas take on Colorado. Seattle taking on Montreal. And Chivas USA taking on the Columbus Crew. Definitely one to watch out for next season, the Columbus Crew. And then the LA Galaxy, the reigning champs, kick off their season, a home game against the Chicago Fire on Sunday the 3rd of March. Portland take on the New York Red Bulls, and San Jose take on RSL in the evening game on that Sunday. That's going to be a tasty game indeed, San Jose against RSL. RSL always a playoff favourite, and San Jose, after their fantastic season, winning the Supporters' Shield, of course, and really should have been in that MLS Cup final indeed. Knocked out by the LA Galaxy, though. We're going to take a very quick break here on World Football Daily. It's been great to get back into a bit of Major League Soccer in the last couple of days or so. But coming up next, we're going to be chatting all things Bundesliga, because it's back as well, baby. German football's back on our TV screens this weekend, and we've got Kit Holden coming up to tell us all about it and more. We'll catch you in just a sec.